Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day with a goal of informing and motivating listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on 5 regional stations, as well as 4 additional stations in Virginia. There's now a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities. We sincerely need your help to accomplish this mission. Your support of any amount is needed to take this next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support us in this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale.
Go to fcbcatjax.com and click the donate button or send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258. Attention radio. Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, based on all we're seeing and hearing, based on all that is taking place in Washington, that's affecting not just those in the Beltway in Washington, but will redound to a detrimental effect for every citizen in the United States of America. We're talking with one of our sons, Greg. Greg is on the line with us, and we're going to continue that conversation in a moment. Greg happens to be up in the southern tip of heaven, better known as the northeast corner of Tennessee, and we'll be talking with him further in just a moment, but I believe we have Joseph on the line. Joseph, go ahead with your question or comment, please.
Well, I just wanted to say that I have a history of being fearful, especially in my younger days. But people who are vulnerable to fear, things can escalate quickly, especially if conditions get more ominous. And I focus on scriptures such as, I will never leave you nor forsake you, the Amen. 91st Psalm. And I focus on God's protective promises. But if government, big tech, and academia totally shut down Christian and conservative voices, we must rely on God's word for clarity of thought, for me to keep my sanity, and trust God to get me through whatever we're fixing to go through.
Absolutely, brother. In fact, when you look at Nehemiah, the book of Nehemiah, Nehemiah was a praying man. You find him praying every time there'd be intervention or difficulty from the enemies, and the enemies were on every hand, making fun of, laughing at, mocking at, threatening, and deriding everything that they would do. But in Nehemiah chapter 4 and verse 20, Nehemiah says, as he's challenging his people to continue to build the wall around Jerusalem, by the way, they had a weapon in one hand and a mortar trowel in the other hand as they were building the wall. They're watching and working. But he told them in Nehemiah 4:20, our God shall fight for us. And that's the promise that we have. That's the need that we have as Christians, is to recognize that God's not asleep. He's not on vacation. He's not impotent. He's not sick. He's never even had COVID. And yet so many Christians there are running around petrified with the hair on fire. Now, that doesn't mean, Joseph, that we're not going to face difficulties and problems. We understand the Bible says perilous times shall come. Perilous times are here. And so that means that we're going to go through difficult days before the rapture of the church takes place. But you're exactly right, brother. As Christians, we need to admonish each and every listener as a believer that we need not be fearful, but we need to faith God, trust God, stay in His Word. Because, Joseph, and to our listeners, I really believe we're on the very cusp, we're on the very verge of seeing all communication cut out by big tech between now and the 20th and perhaps beyond, because they want to prevent our communication with each other, with one another. And that's to divide the nation so that there can be the full, final overthrow of the capitalistic republic that we have, the constitutional republic that we're living in. And that's what we're seeing take place, is drawing the final strings, the final curtain coming down on what we've known for almost 245 years as a free society, a constitutional republic. But, brother, thank you for your call. Thank you for your input. Have a blessed day. Keep on looking up. Our redemption draweth nigh. Greg, what do you say in relationship to big tech? Here's the article I started to share before the top of the hour news. Bernie Sanders issued a one threat to Donald Trump that should scare every Trump voter. Democrats are pressing toward forward to impeach President Trump. Nothing like this has ever happened in America before in American history. And now Bernie Sanders issued one threat to Donald Trump that should scare every Trump voter. Bernie Sanders cited big tech's ban on Trump as a justification for the Democrats' impeachment of Trump and removing him from office. Sanders claimed that big tech judged the president's speech to be violent. He is now too dangerous to serve as president. Bernie Sanders says, and I quote, "Let's be clear. If Trump is too dangerous to send out tweets or Facebook posts, he's too dangerous to be commander-in-chief. Donald Trump must be removed from office immediately and held accountable for his horrific acts of sedition, violence, and chaos," Bernie Sanders posted on his social media. Twitter banned Donald Trump because of two tweets that announced he would not attend the Joe Biden inauguration that he loved and that he loved his 75 million American voters that voted for him. Twitter then falsely claimed those tweets were inciting violence and permanently banned the president from their platform. Big tech is out not just for Donald Trump, but for all of his supporters. Greg, here's Bernie Sanders. He's using what big tech has done as being the indicator, the proof positive, that because tech has banned Trump from social media, that as a result of that, that's proof that he needs to be impeached. Isn't that twisted?
It kind of sounds fascist, kind of sounds authoritarian, kind of sounds
yes.
dictatorial on the part of these folks on the left that always claim that that's what Donald Trump is, you know, fascist, authoritarian, dictatorial, that sort of thing. Now, you know, we're kind of seeing where this whole mess is going. They're trying to go scorched earth on Donald Trump. They don't ever want anyone to ever challenge the deep state again, anyone to step outside the D.C. swamp norms ever again. They want to make sure that people remember this forever and ever and always and are scared to death to do what's right in taking on this machine. Mitch McConnell's right in the middle of this. Mitch McConnell for decades has sat in positions of power in D.C., and he has, I believe, sold us out. He wants to see Trump removed from leadership, if you will, of the GOP. I believe that is, and you connect the dots, Mitch McConnell, Elaine Chao, foremost group, China, and the CCP. Connect those dots, and you'll see what the truth is. Connect those dots, and you'll see why he wants to see Donald Trump gone.
Absolutely, because it has interfered with Mitch McConnell's cash flow from China, as well as Mitt Romney's cash flow from China, as well as Liz Cheney and her whole ilk and their cash flow from China. We're watching them close ranks now to destroy President Trump because he has interfered with their cash flow from all that is done in relationship to providing assistance to other nations and then getting the money back in a money laundering process. And the rhinos in Washington, the Republicans in name only, are just as guilty as the Communist, Socialist, Marxist, BLM, Democratic Party. It's not just the Democrats. It's both sides of the aisle.
Yeah, let's nail it down a little bit, though. The foremost group is Elaine Chao's family's business in China. You know what they do?
Yes.
They're in the shipping business. Now, Donald Trump made Elaine Chao the Secretary of Transportation. Oh, my goodness. How could that possibly be beneficial to the Chao family, okay? And, of course, she stayed in positions of power in government for the decades that Mitch McConnell has been in government and married to the woman. Folks, if you want to see what's wrong with this country when it comes to, you know, the direction we're going today, it's not just an anti-Christian direction, it's an anti-American direction. You look at all these folks and their connections to China. Even folks that people have sung the praises of, Justin Amash, look at his connections to China. Look at Dianne Feinstein's connections to China. Look at one after another in positions of power and their connections to China. Now, I'm not going to see China underneath everything, but I'll tell you back during those McCarthy hearings when they were talking about, you know, they were fearing communism, the spread of communism, and they were seeing communism everywhere. Guess what? They were mostly right. They were mostly right. It's just taken us, you know, six decades to come around to the perspective where we can see it more clearly. Now, that sounds rough, but show me where I'm wrong, folks. Call in and tell me where I'm wrong, because there's the list of connections to China and thus to the CCP, because they control China. It's dictatorial. It's not like, you know, I think Biden was recently asked about that. He said, no, it's not a dictatorship. Maybe it was a few years ago. Nonetheless, he wants to restore normal relations with China. They had most favored nation trade status for 40 years. We made China economically what they are today.
They're about to eat our lunch.
Right. Look at the old Aesop's fables, the eagle and the arrow. And the eagle, as it fell from the air, as an arrow had penetrated its side, the eagle looked at the arrow and saw that its feather made the fletching, of the back of the arrow. It says the haft of the arrow was adorned with the plume of the eagle. That's what it says. That little feather at the back of the arrow is what makes the arrow fly straight, what gave the arrow the ability to kill the eagle. Okay, Aesop's fable, we're going hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years back in time, but I'll tell you, there's a real truth in that Aesop's fables. The eagle and the arrow, look it up. We have collectively as a nation, by allowing these folks to do what they've done in playing with communism in order to get rich, we have given our enemies the means of our own destruction. We have given our enemies the ability to destroy us. It is as
absolutely
clear as
Tony Perkins makes some powerful statements. He says all they needed was an opening, and the rich extremist at the helm of the West social media last Wednesday's riot gave them one. The purging of conservative expression has begun. We knew it was coming. He further then makes a statement. He says the message to conservatives is clear. Big tech isn't just coming for President Trump. They're coming for all of us. This is Tony Perkins. And corporate America is indeed not far behind. So we're talking about the shutting down of communication with Americans. Greg, I believe you are aware of the fact that with the Maoist, the communist, the Marxist, the socialist regime, you can go to any nation, and the leadership's first two is to, number one, control education, number two, control health care, number three, control or prevent any weapons in the hands of the citizens. And that kind of purge has begun in the United States of America through big tech. Big tech now has made the determination that we're not going to allow anybody to communicate about the theft of the election. We're not going to let anybody communicate about any future gatherings. They're preventing any future Trump followers from gathering by way of networking on social media. They have shut down many of the major social media outlets that were on their platforms. Speak to that issue, Greg, of what has taken place as we know it today, from the shutting down of Parler and of others and President Trump, and how that's going to trickle down. What kind of effect is it going to have on squelching the free speech, the Bill of Rights of the citizens?
These are, from a federal law basis, these are monopolistic business practices. You know, some can argue that, hey, these are private businesses, therefore the First Amendment free speech provision is not applicable. Well, I would argue there's already Supreme Court precedent that it does apply to them. You can't shut off communication where there's an open forum, and you can't willy-nilly shut that down. But the reality is these folks are applying monopolistic business practices. They are trying to shut down their competition. Parler is the most likely. I mean, you've got a series of, you know, your Parler types, your MeWe types, right on out, you know, that are platforms similar to Facebook. And Parler was growing by leaps and bounds. I mean, literally to the point that tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands pouring over into Parler. And if you're Facebook or if you're Twitter, that's a scary thing. But you just get your friends, you know, Facebook and Twitter and Google and Amazon Amazon, where the computer warehouse where the servers are handled. We'll just get together and we will squelch. We will shut off the competition. We'll make sure that we kill them while they're infants. It's amazing how that kind of policy prevails, whether you're black-faced baby killing Northam or if you're one of the tech oligarchs in our country. Just kill this baby in its youth. Kill Parler before. enough to be competitive and open the door for true free speech in America. Now, keep in mind, you step back in time 1 year ago as this Wuhan flu hit the scene here in America. What did they quickly want to do? The left wanted to shut everything down. Let's shut down the churches, bars, pubs, restaurants, all these things. Now, folks, look back at our revolution. Everything, again, those things in the Declaration of Independence were preached in the pulpits of America, and one pastor after another would conclude many times with the notion we ought to obey God rather than man because that is a biblical mandate, okay? So those things that the tyrant, King George, was doing, they were talked about in those pulpits. Thus, the tyrant put a mark out for those pastors, and he tagged the black-robed regiment for extinction in these colonies before we became America because those preachers had spoken out against him. Doesn't that sound kind of like what's going on today? But also, during the revolutionary times, folks would get into bars, pubs, restaurants. I mean, these days the restaurant scene is the bar and pub of 250 years ago. But they shut down bars and restaurants. But in the revolution, that's where many of the strategy, well, that's where people got together to talk. So where you get together to talk today, they squelch it in the media outlets that they control, your Twitters, your Facebooks, your Google searches and this and that. They squelch it. Where they can't squelch it, they'll shut it down. They shut down your church, and they shut down the bars, they shut down the restaurants. They want to make sure that they have total power, total control, and you do not get to speak words that would challenge their power.
That's it. And Greg, I'm looking at an article now. It says Idaho, that's talking about the state of Idaho, Idaho internet provider blocks all access to Twitter and Facebook to customers who request it. A North Idaho internet provider blocked access to Twitter and Facebook, even though customers were requesting it. According to the email sent to the customers over the weekend, your T1 Wi-Fi, which provides services to Spokane and northern Idaho areas, said it received phone calls from customers after those websites moved to block certain types of content and suspended all of the accounts associated with President Donald Trump. It has come to our attention that Twitter and Facebook are engaged in censorship of our customers and the information on their Wi-Fi. The article in the closing portion of it says, even the American Civil Liberties Union, the ACLU, warned of unchecked power being wielded on behalf of tech companies after Facebook and Twitter suspended President Trump's accounts. And another article here says the purge has begun. Where will it stop? Nobody knows. And it goes on to talk about the purge of truth, the purge of freedom, the purge of the freedom of speech, the purge of freedom of the press. It is the purge that's taking place that I want our listeners to understand. It's not just the purge of trying to get President Trump off the scene. It's not just the purge of the conservatives in the Beltway in Washington. It's the purge of we the people, of taking away our liberties, our Bill of Rights, our freedom of speech, our freedom of religious liberties, our right to keep and bear arms. It goes down the whole gamut of our Bill of Rights that's now being purged and taken away from us. In fact, it's no better tool could have been used than the March on Washington, or whatever you want to call it, the Trump rally, that turned into an absolute fiasco. But you could go back, and I challenge any listener to go back and listen to the entire Trump speech. There was not one word, not one iota of evidence in that Trump speech at the Trump rally in Washington a week ago. Not one thing that would have caused one to believe that somehow, some way, that Trump was responsible for what was happening. I'm reminded of Isaiah 5:20-24. Woe to those who call good evil and evil good, who put darkness for light and light for darkness. We have the whole picture upside down and reversed in society today. And the thing, Greg, that chaps my hide in thinking of it, is the fact that so many Christians think that we just simply need to be silent and let it all blow over. Well, I want our folks to listen, ladies and gentlemen, it's not going to blow over. We're watching a tectonic shift in society in the United States of America. It will some say, well, you know, next year we'll go back to normal. No such thing as going back to normal. We left the pilings and the pillars and the foundation. And the scripture says in Psalms 11:3, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? This is the reason I'm so personally interested in where we're going and what we're doing, Greg, is because we're seeing the Bill of Rights eviscerated. We're watching our liberties being destroyed. We're watching the House of Cards, being torn down, and the shadow government, the deep state standing up. I'm looking at an article that says the full analyses of Antifa provoked shooting of Alicia Babbitt at the Capitol. An analysis of the videos of the death of the Air Force veteran Babbitt at the U.S. Capitol indicates Antifa activists provoked the fatal gunshot from the police officer. The D.C. police said the unnamed officer who shot Babbitt, 35-year-old San Diego resident, was a plainclothes Capitol police officer. He goes on to talk about just prior to the shooting, two men who had been agitating the crowd broke the glass in the two sets of doors. Immediately after the glass was broken, a shot was fired as Babbitt attempted to go through the doors. One of the men who broke the glass can be seen going down the stairway, changing into the clothes that he had stored in a backpack. And it goes on to talk about Antifa and BLM being the leading forces that infiltrated the Trump rally in D.C., that brought about all of the horrific damage and the danger, and now Trump is blamed for it, and they're using that as the catalyst to try to impeach President Trump again. And the thing, ladies and gentlemen, that I'm saddened about is the fact that they will be successful in impeaching President Trump in the House, and it will be successful, in my most humble opinion, in the Senate, because we're seeing the turncoats, the anti-Americans, the anti-capitalists, the anti-Trumpers all coming to the forefront. Greg, what's the answer? What should we do? How should we then live as Christians, as conservatives, as patriots? Alan Dershowitz says Trump foes prepared to tear up our Constitution.
Let me say this. Do you give me the floor? Do you yield the floor?
Yes, I yield the floor.
You yield the floor? I yield myself such time as I may consume. Let me turn this around on you, because you ask me questions from time to time. Sometimes, you know, we have moments left to go, and you'll say, Greg, what about this? You know, wrap us up. Well, we have 5 minutes, 6 minutes here. And Christmas time was really special, getting together with four generations of Youngblood family.
Yes.
We sat around, and you got your boys and grandkids and great-grandkids. And you look around that room, and I know you have advice. I know you have advice, and I know, you know, when we step back in time, John Adams had advice for posterity, for future generations. John Adams said, posterity, you will never know how much it costs to present to the present generation to preserve your freedom. I hope you will make good use of it. If you do not, I shall repent in heaven that I ever took half the pains to preserve it. You know, 56 men signed that Declaration of Independence, and they pledged their lives, their fortunes, and their sacred honor. Men bled and died for the freedom that we have here in America. Jesus bled and died on that cross to buy our eternal freedom. But so much blood has been shed to purchase our freedom. What advice would you have, not just for the four generations of living young bloods today that are your progeny, but for families across America? What advice would you have? You know, there's a man that gave you advice as a young theologian, and he was curled up in the front seat of your car, and you asked for his advice. Maybe you'll share that advice, or maybe yours will be John Adams' advice. But what is your advice to your offspring and to the families across America? You know, I'm in my 50s. Your sons are each in their late 40s to late 50s. You've got great grandkids that are less than 2 years old. What's your advice? What's your advice?
Twofold. Study the word, know the word, meditate on the word. God told Joshua in Joshua chapter 1, verse 7-9, to go forward. Don't turn to the left, don't turn to the right. Meditate on the word. Stay in the word. Secondly, be calm and be prepared. Be calm and be prepared. We need to understand that we are in the perilous times that the Bible speaks of. We need to be calm and not fearful. We need to faith God and not fear government. And we need to be prepared. And part of that preparation is not just in the spiritual realm, although when Joshua spoke to his people in the third chapter of Joshua, when they were about to cross over into the Jordan, he says, sanctify yourselves. Tonight, sanctify yourselves. That means to make sure that you're right before God, to make sure that you're prepared for what's going to take place the next day, Joshua was saying. that indicates that sanctification means to set apart, to set aside, to make sure that our lives are surrendered to the Lordship of Jesus Christ and be prepared and to be calm in doing so. But part of that preparation is not just in the spiritual realm, though that is the most overarching preparation. We need to be prepared in the realization that what if an EMP hits America and we have no electricity? What if through big tech they shut off everything that's called the operation of the internet so that you cannot use your charge card? Do you have some funds set aside? What if we can't go to the grocery store for 30, 60, 90 days? Are you prepared with that? What if you do not have gasoline in your car and the gasoline pumps at the station do not work because they're all set up on computers electronically? And I can go through the whole litany. We need to be calm. We need to be prepared. We need to recognize that those who would tolerate and cheer the taking of anyone's rights need to remember the tyrants are coming after you next. And in that realization, we need to look up, lift up our heads, for our redemption draweth nigh. We are on the very verge. We're on the cusp of watching our liberties, our freedoms, our churches, and what we've known so to become so near and dear to us as a nation for 244 years. We're watching it being absolutely eviscerated. And I can't say it clear enough. Can't say it any more poignantly or personally or more powerful, ladies and gentlemen. We need to be calm, but we need to be prepared and understand what is on the agenda for our nation. Greg, we've got about 45 seconds. Take a moment. Challenge our listeners as Christians and conservatives of what we need to do in that preparation.
It's neat from a perspective of you gave kind of the Boy Scout slogan. I was never a Boy Scout, but I understand it was be prepared. And Proverbs 6:6-8 says, "Go to the ant, thou sluggard. Consider her ways and be wise, which have no guide or overseer or ruler, but provideth her meat in the summer and gathereth her food in the harvest." So yes, be prepared, be wise, use the mind that God has given you to prepare for what's coming.
Absolutely. Greg, thank you so much for joining us today. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us on there. And join us again as once again we face the issues.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located 1/2 mile south of I-295. FCBC invites you to tune in nightly, 9 to 9:45 p.m. for expository preaching on 91.3, 91.7, and 91.9 FM. You are invited to worship with them 9:30 a.m. Sunday for Bible study, 10:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship service, 7 p.m. evening worship service, or 7 p.m. Wednesday fellowship meal Bible study. Prayer, Bible Q&A, and updates on issues facing our city, state, and country. Tune in again for another Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Also tune in the same station Saturday mornings at 9 for expository Bible preaching by Dr. Youngblood. Remember, a rebroadcast of this program can be heard in its entirety 9 p.m. on 100.3 FM and 93.3 HD3. You're also invited to tune in Sunday mornings at 8 a.m. on Talk 100.3 for expository preaching. Tune in and invite others to listen.